Amen. You can be seated. Thank you, worship team. All right. Hey, I just second what Derek was saying earlier today when it comes to the setup team. Had a lot of people show up this morning, which we're grateful for that. But it takes work, right? It takes work to get it set up, and we're grateful for those that are dedicated to do that. Hey, there's a famous Christmas song with the line, "It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go." Hopefully you guys get that song stuck in your head the rest of the day, right? But if you look around, man, that's true. For some of you, your houses were beginning to look a lot like Christmas a month or two ago. You cheated. You got a head start, right? But it's exciting because at Christmas, right, we begin to think about some amazing things like hope and joy and giving and receiving. And we put up decorations and we listen to music. Guys, if you go into a store, you listen to the radio or watch movies, you can tell it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. For us today, same thing here. We're beginning our Christmas series titled "For Unto Us." It's a phrase that's found in the New Testament when telling of the amazing birth of Jesus. And we're going to spend some time together in Isaiah and also in Luke as we walk through this Christmas series together. And I'm looking forward to our time on Christmas Eve in the park as well as we gather to look at Jesus and the hope that we have in Him and that He brought on Christmas. With the year that we've had, church, with the problems, the hardships, and the fear and the uncertainty we have faced, people all over the world are saying we need Christmas. Right now, there are many special things that we enjoy this time of year. You may enjoy, anybody enjoy putting up a Christmas tree? Right? Who's the artificial Christmas tree people? Right? I pray for you. Who's the real Christmas tree people? All right, there we go. There we go. Hey, man, but it may be that you like putting up Christmas tree or the decorations. You may be ready for the music or the presents or one of the Christmas classics, right? The movies. But church, let us never get distracted from what matters most. And that's the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the reason we rejoice. He's the reason we sing. He is the reason that we can have hope even in 2020. As Jesus followers, we can rejoice and celebrate because of Jesus. We can pray and seek God because of Jesus. We can be grateful and have hope because of Jesus. When I was younger, we were everybody in the community just came over to our house. We played basketball. We had a swimming pool. We played football. We did all of those things in our yard. And my dad came and told us one day, he said, "Hey, you got to be careful in the front yard because we're taking over that. We're going to put a sign up in the front yard." And so I'm thinking we're going to have a sign like this. And my dad comes home one day with this ginormous sign. You know, I was little. I was probably, you know, 8 or 9 years old. And so to me, this thing looked like it was like 30 by 20. In reality, it was more like 6 by 4. But you know what it said? Had a message we all needed to hear. Jesus is the reason for the Christmas season. And it was just awesome of my dad to put that out to remind us of that. Too often we make Christmas about so many other things, even as Christians. Right? When I was young, I really looked forward to the gifts that were underneath the Christmas tree. I remember we would gather. My dad was a videographer, so we all had to gather at the end of the hallway. We had to wait. We couldn't get up early and go out. We had to stand there and wait, and he set up this big old, you know, video camera that's like this big. My dad's going to send me a text correcting me, but this ginormous thing that he would kind of video, and we all had to go out and then one by one open our Christmas gifts. I really look forward to that time. There was a lot of focus on the presents. Amen? Right? And I would be thinking, church, think about this question. This is what I would be thinking. What was I going to get that would make me happy? And you know, we still do that into adulthood. We still ask, what can I get or do or acquire that will make me happy? And it's not just at Christmas. We do that our entire life. We're constantly looking for, asking for, and pursuing things that we think are going to make us happy. We often think things like this: if I could just get this, or I could get that, if I could just achieve this, if I could get this pay or this job or that house, then I would be satisfied, then I'd be happy. But when it comes to those things and the rest of the things that this world has to offer, the gifts and the presents that we seek to open, church, they never fully satisfy. They never last. They're not meant to. Our prayer, our hope is that as we walk through these verses leading up to Christmas, that we would walk away knowing what and who it is that we receive at Christmas. And that we would realize, church, that Jesus is the only gift that lives up to the hype. You guys ever have those gifts that you super want? That doesn't make sense. That you really wanted, super wanted. That you really wanted for Christmas, right? And what happens? You know, they're done, you know, after 24 hours or after, you know, maybe a year. They're just done. They don't always live up to the hype, but Jesus lives up to the hype. He's the only gift that fully satisfies and will never fall short. I hope that, guys, that you guys invite others, right? Share the online stream so that others can hear. In fact, if you're watching it right now, start a watch party. Let others be a part of what God is teaching us this year, that Jesus is the only Christmas present, the only gift that they truly need. And so with all that in mind, open up your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9. Yep, we're not going to be in Matthew or Luke or John. We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 9. If you're not familiar with that is, where that is, use your table of contents. It's going to be on the screen as well. But Isaiah chapter 9 is where we're going to be today. As you're turning there, I'm going to give you a little bit of info as what's happening in this passage. If you're not familiar, Isaiah is a man of God that's a prophet. A prophet, in short, is a man used by God to really be a spokesperson for God. And throughout the Old Testament, God used prophets to tell people, to tell God's people what they needed to hear. Isaiah had that responsibility for about 50 years in a place called Judah, which is the southern kingdom. And Isaiah served during a very difficult period. For the people of Judah, this was a time of rebellion against God, a time of idol worship, and God used Isaiah to warn them, also to encourage them, and to challenge them. And when we come to chapter 9, church, I just want you guys to get this idea. We know that about 2,000 years ago, we celebrate the birth of Jesus. So we're looking back, but at this point, they are 700 years prior to the birth of Jesus Christ. But we're gonna see Isaiah tell us and tell God's people about the coming Messiah, about Jesus that was promised to be their Savior. And so, church, would you stand with me as we honor God and His Word and just follow along as I read from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Here's what God's Word tells us. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For a child will be born to us. A son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Let's pray. Father God, as we begin our Christmas season here at Authentic Life Church, God, I pray, Lord, that you would press in on us. God, that you would teach us. A lot of times, us as Christians, or really the world, but us as Christians, God, your people, we just come to Christmas with the same heart, the same attitude. We've already heard the stories. We've already sang the songs. But God, I pray, Lord, that you teach us something new. God, that you would energize us. And God, that you would encourage us and give us opportunities to invite other people to hear about Christmas at Authentic Life and also for them to share the gospel. Help this year be different. God, 2020 has been different. But God, you've opened up a lot of doors for broken people to come and know Jesus. And so we pray, Lord, today that we would be responsive to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. For the next 2 weeks, we're going to look at this verse and other supporting passages and see some important truths about who it is that we receive on Christmas. But before diving in, let's get a glimpse as to what those in Judah are facing. When Isaiah writes this passage, he's writing this to a people that are in a dark moment, right? Anybody ever been in a dark moment? And all of 2020 says amen, right? Right? Here's what's going on. Assyria is a powerful enemy that is really pressing in on them, and they are threatening them, and they're threatening the region, and they're threatening other nations that are neighboring to them. And so you got the northern neighbors that are also being threatened, and they come to Judah and they say, "Hey, Judah, like, we've formed an alliance, right? We've come together to create this coalition. Would you join with us?" But the problem is Judah at that point had this king named Ahaz. And Ahaz isn't known for making the best decisions, right? He's making some bad decisions over and over again for his people. And he decides, church, out of fear, to not trust in God and his friends. But instead, here's what he does. Instead of trusting in God, instead of trusting in Israel and other nations that are wanting to form this coalition, he sends a king's ransom to the enemy. He sends a king's ransom to Assyria. And basically asking the enemy for mercy and for help. Guys, this is a dark time for the people here in Judah. Decisions are made that make them feel hopeless and powerless. Things are happening all around them they have no control of. But again, also the people of Judah, they're living in sin. They're living in rebellion against God. The idolatry is on the rise. Sin and hypocrisy were prevalent. And they're left at this point where they're not sure. God, are you for us? God, are you against us? Or God, have you just flat out abandoned us? I visited with people that have those questions. Now, if we were to read on in Scripture, we would know that there were dark days ahead for the people of Judah. But here's the reality. In the midst of all of it, Isaiah is bringing them a message of hope. He's telling them, you are in dark days, but light is coming. He brings a message of encouragement that God is still with them and has great things in store for them. And he has a promise for them and also for us. Even in sin, even in darkness, even in trouble, he brings a message of comfort and a reason to rejoice. And he tells God's people and he tells us of the greatest gift ever. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says this, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and we know this child to be Jesus. Now, they didn't know the whole thing at that particular point, but we get to look back at it. We know that this Jesus, and you know, it's a really cool saying, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given. It sounds like a really good, like, you know, birth announcement, right? You get a card in the mail, and you just get this birth announcement from Isaiah. But it's not just that. This phrase is telling us two things about this child that's being born. It's telling us that this child being born is fully man and also fully God. It's a theologically rich statement. The Bible tells us in John 1 that Jesus is the Word, right? And in the beginning, the Word, Jesus, was with God and the Word was God. Jesus always has been and always will be fully God. Second person in the Trinity with God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. We're going to get back to that more in a little bit. But here's the thing, church. Jesus is fully God. And we also know that this promised gift, this promised Messiah, Jesus, he is also fully man. Philippians 2:7 tells us about this. He was in heaven, but Jesus, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity. And when he had come as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. Fully God, fully man. And that's what Isaiah is telling God. He's telling us 700 years prior to his birth, Isaiah writes, for a child will be born to us. Here's what he's doing. Isaiah is speaking of Jesus, the Savior, being born through Mary as a baby into humanity. How do we know that? Just a few chapters back in chapter 7, he writes this, behold, a virgin. Who's the virgin? It's Mary, a person, right? A virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. For a child will be born to us. We're speaking of his birth into humanity, where God will use Mary to be his mother. And she will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so Isaiah is speaking to that as well. The first unto us is a child born to us into humanity. And then he says a son will be given to us. And that should sound familiar to us because the Bible tells us in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he what, church? That he gave his only begotten son. All right. That whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. 700 years prior to his death, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. A son will be given to us. Here's the reality. God the Father loves you and me, the world, so much. He doesn't, I need you to hear this, church. He doesn't send a really good person. He doesn't send a prophet. He doesn't send his best angel. He sends his only begotten son. That's who we get on Christmas. His only begotten son, Jesus, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, is who was given. Amen, church? Right? So when we think about the best gift on Christmas, that's what and that's who we get. And the Bible says, and the government will rest on his shoulders. I'd love to dive into that. We're going to dive more into that next week. But Isaiah is saying this, that this child that was born, right, would be King Jesus. And verse 7 tells us that his reign will have no end. Isaiah isn't speaking of a military hero or a great earthly ruler. He's speaking of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When Jesus is about to be born, Luke 1:32 says this. It says, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Jesus, the greatest presence ever, fully man, fully God. Emmanuel is God with us, the King that will reign forever. And we're going to talk more about that next week. But the good news is this. When we look at the world around us, let's just get that glimpse here for a second. There's darkness, right? There's heartache, there's illness. And church, there's a virus, but it's not just the virus, right? Yet sometimes we just look at it as like there's only one enemy pressing in on us. Church, let me tell you what's pressing in on us. There's a rise in suicide. There's a rise in isolation. There's a rise in loneliness. There's a rise in abuse. There's a rise in children being removed from their home. There's a rise in job loss and hatred and political divide. There's brokenness in people's personal lives that has nothing to do with any of that, right? All throughout the city, country, and the world, many are in a very, very, very dark moment. But the gift that we celebrate on Christmas, the gift that allows us to rejoice and be comforted, church, it's not a new president. It's not more money. It's not a new job. It's not a new car. It's not bought at Target or delivered by Amazon. It is a child born for us, a son given to us. It's King Jesus, the one who is still on his throne, who still loves you personally. And if you don't know him, he is the one that still wants to be your Lord and Savior. That's Jesus. And he's the reason we celebrate Christmas. Because in our dark moments, when sin had its grip on you, when fear or worry or anxiety has you pinned down, when you least deserved it, when you were separated from God because of his love, Jesus came to rescue you and to be with you. Let's never lose sight of the gift of Jesus. Now, after that introduction, let's start the sermon today. Let's look at verse 6. Isaiah tells us some important information here. Emily, you think I'm kidding. She had a smile, but we're just starting it, right? Here's the thing. He tells us of the gift of Jesus. He speaks of his humanity, his deity, and his rule. And then he tells us, church, he tells us his name. He says, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Throughout most of history, throughout most of the world, throughout the Bible, names are important. Names have meaning. Do people in this room understand? Do you guys know? Just lift your hand up. Do you know why you were named what you were named? Right? Anybody? Often in our culture, we see names that are trendy, right? That there's magazines and articles that come out every year. These are the top 10 names, you know, or that, you know, maybe you're named after someone that your parents admired or loved. When you hear certain names, just think about a name. We can go through names. Think about Barack Obama. Think about Donald Trump. Think about, you know, Nancy Pelosi. Think about Ariana Grande. Did I say it right? I don't know. Anybody know that name? Ariana Grande? I don't know. Think about like Johnny Cash. Like when you think of their names, think about just a friend or a family member. Certain thoughts come to your mind when you hear that name, right? A memory comes up. You think about their character. You think about their personality or maybe what they accomplished. Names help communicate who that person is. Also, names have meaning. Many people are given a certain name because of its meaning. I think my parents nailed my name when it comes to the meaning. You guys ready? The name Jeffrey means peaceful gift. I'm just telling you, I think they nailed it, right? God's peace, peaceful gift is my name, right? If you were to look up your name, you can find out the origination of that name and its meaning. But in the Bible, we see names that have significant meaning as well. I think about Barnabas. His name means son of encouragement, and boy, did he live that out, right? He was an encourager. He walked along his brothers and sisters in Christ and helped them as they followed Jesus. He encouraged them. Peter carries the name stone, to be more specific, small stone. The name Isaiah carries the meaning, the Lord is salvation. Church, names are important. I tell my boys all the time, hey, you're a Vanderford, right? Act like a Vanderford, right? There's a reason for that. Live up to the name. But we're going to see how important a name is in verse 6. Isaiah writes that this child that will be born to us, as the son that will be given to us, this coming Savior and King, he has a name. And it's important to notice that Isaiah says that his name will be called. Right? His name. It doesn't say names. Do you guys notice that? It doesn't say names. It's on purpose. Because Jesus, hear me out, church, Jesus is always all of these at the same time. Right? He is always at the same time, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Right? So it's not that at one moment he's one of those things and then he's another at another moment. His name is always all four. So he is Mighty God at the same time that he is Prince of Peace, that at the same time he is Wonderful Counselor and Eternal Father. And so for our remaining time, we're going to focus on the first two. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. For those of you taking notes, we're going to begin to look at those at this point as we address his name. When we think about Jesus being born, Isaiah is promising a Savior, a child that will be born to us and will forever rule. And his name that he mentions first will be called Wonderful Counselor. Sometimes translations put a comma in between those two, but the language doesn't really allow that. The language suggests that those are inseparable. Wonderful Counselor. Now, he is both wonderful and counselor, but his name is Wonderful Counselor. Because the word wonderful defines someone that is above and beyond. It's exceptional and extraordinary. And the name counselor, church, this is someone who consults, advises, someone who devises a plan. It's also a military term. When you think about the word counselor, it's also a military term that was used widely at that time. It would be one who came up with the strategy. Right? It was a strategist. And so as we look at those, this is who Jesus is. He is Wonderful Counselor. He's the one, church, that we should be seeking. Now, the Lord has gifted and equipped some amazing people as counselors. We've got some of those in our church, right? They come alongside people and they advise and they give consultation. And I'm going to be honest with you, they're probably not used enough. Right? They're probably not used enough. We need those. But with Jesus, here's the reality. We have the extraordinary counselor. The counselor that is above all others. The counselor that never fails. The one we can seek with the perfect advice and direction and counsel. And so in Jesus, what we have on Christmas is we have a perfect and reliable counselor. Think about this, church. When you walk through difficulties, when you walk through challenges and questions or next steps in your life, just in your day-to-day life, right? What do we find ourselves doing or what should we do? Maybe we don't do this enough, but we seek advice from people all around us, right? There are times that I'll get on the phone or meet up with a pastor to say, hey, how have you handled this situation? Or what do you think we should do? Or maybe you get a hold of, you know, your parent and say, hey, man, my kids are being boogers. Like, how did you deal with me? I mean, I know that I wasn't a booger, but how would you have dealt with me if I was, right? And so we seek advice from people all around us. You're looking for help. You're looking for affirmation. You're looking for wisdom in what we should do or to help with the decision you should make. And we do that. We sang this song this morning, Prone to Wander, right? Right, we do this because we're known. We know that we're prone to do things that are not wise, and so we seek counsel from others. And when we seek that from people, which we should, here's the reality though: every counselor that you have ever sat in front of is still a person with faults and imperfections. But with Jesus, we have a perfect, exceptional, always reliable counselor. Think about a counselor for a minute. If you've never seen one, you probably should. But if you haven't, you just think, I'm just kidding. I don't know. Right. But if you just think about that, right, sometimes you're sitting in an office with them right now. They're doing a lot of teleconference type stuff. Maybe you've been the person that's laid out on the couch to get all the help that you need. But the goal for them is to be able to have a one-on-one meeting with you. Right? To have that one-on-one meeting. This isn't where you're going to like a conference where it's a whole bunch of people. This is a one-on-one where they're seeking to get the whole picture. Right? They want to get to know you. They want to understand, to get as much information as they can so they can give the best counsel. But they can only get so personal. Amen? Right? They can only know so much. But with Jesus as our perfect, reliable counselor, we can also know that He is personal. Church, Jesus is personal. Psalm 139 tells us, because we know that He's God, but it says that He knows us. He observes us. He's aware of all of our ways. He knows the words before they come out. He's encircled us. We cannot escape His presence. It doesn't get more personal than that. And that personal counselor, Jesus, the Lord, Psalm 32:8 says this about how He counsels us. He says, I will instruct you and show you the way to go. With my eyes on you, I will give counsel. And is it good to know that God's eyes are on us? The good thing about Him as our counselor, and with Him knowing us perfectly, church, we need to hear this, is that we can be honest with Him. Because He already knows. Often people go to a counselor or they seek advice. And you know what they do? We all do this. We tell part of the story. We hide part of who we are when we're talking to that person and still hope for the best advice. But we can't hide anything from God. He's personal. We can be honest with Him, and guess what? He will always be honest with you. And the last thing as our wonderful counselor is this. He leads us according to which is good, to that which is good and right. He leads us according to that which is good and right. Remember, one of the uses of the word counselor is that it is one who devises plans and is a strategist, right? You see, the people of Judah, here's the contrast here. The people of Judah were under a leader that seemed to lack in wisdom, right? He lacked in pointing them in the right direction. His ways and his strategies seemed to lead to hopelessness and corruption and defeat. Think about your life. We have many in this world that want to speak into our lives, don't they? Right? They just want, hey, I got some advice for you. They just want to offer their advice. They want to have your ear and they want to share their thoughts. And too often we listen to those that lead us not toward Jesus. If you have someone speaking into your life that is using the Word of God and they're pointing you to Jesus, man, be after that. But there's too many that lead us to not follow Jesus, but toward defeat and toward sin and toward worldly pleasures and away from God's Word. But with this counselor, when we trust Him and when we follow Him, He makes our path straight and He leads us to what is right and good in the eyes of our Creator. Jesus, the child that was born, the Son that was given to us, He is our wonderful counselor. And guys, that's good news because we belong to Jesus, right? When you're saved, when you belong to Jesus, we have Him right now in this moment, in every moment. As our counselor, showing us the way, showing us His way. Do you think it makes sense now that He says, come and be with me, right? Spend time with me, learn from me, follow me. Isaiah says, and His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. At Christmas, we celebrate that in Jesus, we have a mighty God. Some have said, many have believed that Jesus was only a good man or a good prophet or a great teacher. But some have also said that Jesus was, they're like, okay, well, I'll give it to you. He's a God, but He's not God. In fact, there are religions even here, right here in Tucson, that have changed their translations and what the Bible was actually written to say that in the beginning was the Word and the Word was a God. That's not what the Bible says. Listen to what God's Word says about this. It's all there, church. John 1:14. We know this. It says, the Word, Jesus, right, became flesh and what? Dwelt among us. This is big, church, because the Word, the phrase dwelt among us, you know what it means? You know what it's translated to say? It means to pitch a tabernacle among us. That's what that phrase means. And that might not sound too important to us, but to them this was huge. Do you know why? Because before Jesus came, where did God meet His people? In the tabernacle. Yells are good, okay? I was just having like a dramatic pause there for a second, okay? But this would have brought to their mind the Old Testament tabernacle where they met God in his presence. Amen? And so that was a big deal, the tabernacle, right? And so that gives insight to this is God. And now in a much more personal way, Jesus, God, became flesh and he came to dwell among them, among us as God. And so now that we know this is Jesus, listen to verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. Who's the Word? It's Jesus, right? And Jesus, the Word was with God, and the Word Jesus was God. Not a God, not a created God, not a person that earned godhood. He is and always was God. He was with God in the beginning. Now here's some more for you theological nerds, because this is exciting. It says, in the beginning. You know what that phrase actually means? Before it ever was. Before the beginning. All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing that was created that has been created. Jesus always has been and always will be God. Guys, we get excited when we see miracles, right, in the Bible, but I think of Jesus, but I think his greatest may have been that he came as man, but also fully as God. The word mighty is the Hebrew word gabor. Right? It means this. It means strong, mighty, and brave. It implies someone that's like a warrior. And so for unto us, we have Jesus at Christmas, the fearless, powerful, mighty God. In your notes, here are some attributes that we see of a mighty God. He's powerful, church. He's able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we could ever ask or think. He's faithful. He is all-knowing. He's omnipresent. He is creator and sustainer. Of course, Jesus can speak and the waves and the wind cease because he's God. He's the creator of that. Of course he can conquer death because he's God. God in the flesh who has come to be with us. Nothing is too difficult or too hard for him. I don't know about you guys, but knowing that he's mighty God, I don't know what God's doing in the midst of this. We've seen God do a lot of things, but I'm praying that God would do the same thing to the virus that he did to the waves and the storm. Amen, church? Just hush and be still. He's mighty God. Think about the wonder of this moment. Back in Isaiah 7, we saw Isaiah tell that Jesus is Emmanuel, which means God with us. And then we see that fulfilled all the way back 700 years later in Matthew 1:22. Read this about Jesus being born. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Who's the prophet? Isaiah. See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Jesus, mighty God, came to be with us. Church, he is with us. Think about that. These people are being told that one day, they're in the middle of this darkness, one day God will come and dwell among them. And on Christmas, that happens. He comes to meet us, church, where we are. He comes to live amongst us, to feel what we feel and face what we face, to be with us. Church, when we're on the mountaintops, he's with us. When we find ourselves in the middle of the water with the storm raging all around us, in 2020, he's with us. When we get scary news or bad news or difficult news or we face a difficult situation, he's with us. When we are angry and lost, when life is hard, he is God with us. If you know Jesus this morning, if you have been saved by Jesus, he makes a promise in Matthew 28:20. He says, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. As Jesus followers, we are never without God being with us. And as mighty God, his promises never fail. Joshua 21:48 says, none of the good promises the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed. Everything was fulfilled. His birth alone gives proof of this. Jesus himself is the promise kept, and he's the promise keeper. Right? I love the promise that if I confess Jesus is Lord and call on him to save me, then I'm going to be saved, church. Amen? Right? And spend eternity with him. And last, we see that as mighty God, he has the power to execute his wise plan. Remember, as counselor, he devises a plan. He's a strategist. And what we know about Jesus is, church, he has a mission. Right? He has a plan, and nothing will get in the way of that mission. I remember a few years ago, we walked through just a sermon series. Gosh, it was 3 or 4 years ago, probably called Unstoppable. unstoppable, and we just looked at the mission of Jesus that led us to the cross and the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and we saw all these things where people tried to stop Jesus' mission, and he was unstoppable. From birth on, his mission was to make his way to the cross, to give his life for you and me, and to rise again, to be the Savior. Listen to what Colossians 1 says about Jesus in verse 18. It says, he is also the head of the body, the church. Right? And with Jesus as the head, he says in Matthew 16, 18, he says, church, listen up. He says, I will build my church. Right? Pastor Jeff's not building the church. Becky's not building the church. Autumn's not building the church. He says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell or Hades will not overpower it. That's good news. In Jesus, we have a God and Savior that is powerful, and he will always accomplish his mission. Psalm 147:5 says this, our Lord is great, vast in power. His understanding is infinite. Psalm 95:3, for the Lord is a great God and great King above all lowercase gods. Church, at Christmas we celebrate because for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name is called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. And it was this Wonderful Counselor and Mighty God that came to forgive and rescue and be the light and Savior that we needed in our dark world and our dark lives. I want you to think about this quote. A.W. Tozer has a famous quote, and he says this. He says, what comes to our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Think about that. What comes to your mind when you think about God? A.W. Tozer says that's the most important thing about you. Church, when we think about Jesus, he's not a distant deity. He's not just a good person. He's not just a prophet. He's not a genie in a lamp where we rub and get what we want. He's not Google or Siri where we say, hey, give me, you know, tell me the information I want. He's not Amazon that delivers what we want when we need it. We need to know that he is the greatest gift. He's the reason we celebrate as Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And God, we're so grateful that you love us. We're so grateful that for unto us was born, unto us a son was given. God, we know that because of your love for us, you saw us in our darkness, you saw us in our mess, you saw us in our sin. And when we least deserved it, when we were unable, you gave the greatest gift in Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. God, today, I pray, Lord, today, if there's someone here today or online that's watching right now that says, man, I needed to hear that. I needed to know that Christmas isn't about all of these things. I needed to know that in Jesus, I have a God that is mighty and that he loves me. In Jesus, I need to know that the gift that I have in Jesus is a Wonderful Counselor that can speak truth into my life, will give me perfect advice, and will give me the wisdom if I ask for it. God, there may be people on here that say, I don't know Jesus. Maybe they're in this room, maybe they're online. I don't know Jesus. I don't have a personal, I sing about him at Christmas time. I go to church at Christmas time, maybe even Easter, Mother's Day, but I don't know Jesus. God, we pray, Lord, today that they would know Jesus personally, know that you came to rescue them and to die for them and to cover their sins. God, we pray, Lord, that today that you would draw them near to you and save them. God, as we go out this week, help us be Jesus followers that know that Jesus is the reason we celebrate Christmas. We ask all that in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, when we think about for unto us a child is born, a son is given, one of the things that we have a responsibility to do as ambassadors of Christ and disciples of Christ is to tell others about Jesus. And our church has an opportunity each month. We give money each month that goes towards international missions. But what I want to do is I want to invite Autumn Stump up here, and I want her to share about what we're doing this year when it comes to Lottie Moon so that other people throughout the world can hear about Jesus. Go ahead.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
So, if you've heard the word lighting up for Temple Grace, you might be saying, what is that? It is an offering collected by Southern Baptists.
Thank you, Autumn. I'm excited to hear her story next week where she'll get to focus more on that. Hey, church, we're going to be dismissed here in just 1 second. But a couple things you're going to find in the back on the welcome booth back there. You're going to find invites for our just for our Christmas service. So go grab them. They fit in your pocket, right? Go grab them. Hand them out. It doesn't hurt to hand them out, church. And if somebody can come and hear the gospel and hear about Jesus, so grab some of those and hand them out back there. The other thing is Emily, is this in the bulletins? Okay, perfect. So you've got this right here. So a lot of times, our tithes and offerings, by the way, if you want to give your tithes and offerings, there's a box back there. You drop them in there with your connection card. If you're giving online, authenticlifeaz.com/give. But this right here, this envelope, this can help us just kind of designate that a little easier and say, this is going to Lottie Moon. Church, I just want to encourage you and challenge you. I was convicted this last week, even more so when I was watching these kids throughout the world open up their Operation Christmas Child box, right? I mean, I'm telling you, man, I kind of cried a little bit. It's probably allergies, but I cried a little bit. It was just exciting to see these kids, right? And they got to hear about Jesus. This money goes directly into the pockets of those that are telling these people about Jesus so that they can do what they do. Church, I want to challenge you. Let's be a part of that. We didn't set a goal this year because it's our first year to do this, but let's just blow it out of the water like we did with the Christmas boxes. And so give on the way out if you can. You can give online as well. And for those that are online, God bless you. We're glad that you're here today. God's best to you guys. Have a great week.